Oh God, our hearts resonate with that song where we cry out to ourselves, let us praise the Lord. We feel our weakness. We feel those things mixed in us, which would compete for fealty, for loyalty to you. We feel the mixing of loves for lesser things, and we yearn to sing now like we will in your presence in glory. We long that our hearts would unite with all creation in shouting out your glorious name. Oh God, would you be pleased here as we gather this morning to hear of your grace? Would you be pleased to cause the strains that we just sung, the refrains, to echo in our own hearts, to resonate with our own thoughts? May we ever praise you. Lord, we ask even now as we get to hear the testimonies of grace through those being baptized that you would give courage and clarity to those who would profess your love for them and their submission to you. Thank you for saving sinners. Thank you for loving the unlovely, drawing those who weren't looking for you to yourself in love. We thank you so much for being a God who takes the weary and heavy laden and gives us rest. We praise you for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As we prepare for baptism this morning, I want to turn your attention to Colossians chapter 1. I invite you to open your Bibles there and look along. And we will see there a treatise here on the person of Christ, and then a reflection on ourselves, those of us who are in Christ. In Colossians 1:15, Paul, writing of Christ, says this: He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn or preeminent one over all creation. For in him, in Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. And he, Christ, is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and enemies in mind and in evil deeds, but now he reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly grounded and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. We see the incomparable Christ here, the preeminent one over all creation, because he is the creator, the sustainer, that from Christ and through Christ and to Christ are all things. And what has he done? He has sought to reconcile all things to himself, to bring about his great reconciliation, his great peace, even over all those things listed as thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities. That is, even his enemies, Jesus will have his peace. Christ is the agent in the Godhead who will bring about the making right of all things. What's interesting is that while his enemies will find Christ's shalom under his boot, those who were his enemies but believed in him will find reconciliation to him as friends, as those who are forgiven, who have been brought to him in love. Look again at verse 21. Although you were formerly alienated and enemies in mind and enemies in evil deeds, but now he has reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. This is why Christ came. To go to a cross, to die a horrific death there, and not merely the physically torturous death at the hands of men, but the unthinkable death and destruction under the hand of his Father as Christ became the sin bearer for all who would believe. It pleased the Father to crush him so that he might justify the many. And that is exactly what happens at the cross. Jesus Christ, the innocent, gets punished, and the guilty get declared to be righteous. The guilty go free. The perfect one took our penalty. This is a costly substitution, a costly reconciliation for God to make friends out of his enemies, for God to reconcile us who are at enmity with him in our thoughts and our deeds, and turn us into those who love him from the heart and yield to him as Lord and live according to his ways. For him to do all of that required supernatural work and an infinite payment. Four friends are coming before us this morning to testify of that transformation, of forgiveness of sin and newness of life. And they're coming not because they were smart enough to have figured something out, not because they have cleaned themselves up and started doing right. No, it is because they have been forgiven. It is because they have been cleansed. They have been transformed. They have been made new creatures by the grace of God. Their sins have been paid for at the cross of Christ, and they have surrendered themselves to Christ because he's better. Better than life before and better than everything else. And we get to hear from them this morning, talk about what God has done for them. We'll invite them up one by one and they will share their testimonies of God's grace in their lives.